Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it's just another manic Monday.
Oh, whoa.
And now it's a panic pun day.
Oh.
I'm doing a recording with a whale in my podcast.
Oh, no.
I panicked and made a pun. This is Pistol Shrimps Radio more than it's ever been.
And less than it ever was.
My name's Matt Corley.
And I'm McCark Monville.
And I do believe that is his name.
And I've never changed it legally or illegally. How do you illegally change your name?
You rob a liquor store and say, I don't want any money. I just want you to acknowledge my name is now Griffin Cable Boa.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I've had to do it every season of that horror podcast.
Oh, yeah. You have to change your name for the podcast.
Yeah.
I have to change my name to keep things spicy in the bedroom.
You change your name to Sex God?
Yeah, I had to change it from that, too.
Oh.
And then I just changed it to the Vanilla Boy.
When you wanted just a quiet night together.
Yeah, and then I changed it to, hey, I'm trying to read.
Listen, what we do is that we used to do basketball game talk when the game was happening. Then these guys, who are us, says to each other, hey, there ain't no more games because of COVID. And prior to that, even anyway, we'd stopped going.
Yeah. Turns out every Tuesday for 5 years or however goddamn long it was. I mean, we probably would still do it. I don't.
The point is, now we just answer emails that are backlogged from the year 1982.
Yes. I have a laptop in front of me with a bunch of emails that I haven't read. I haven't screened them. I have no idea what these people say in these emails. And then I just read them. But before we do that, Matt, don't you think we should check the P.O. box?
Oh, absolutely.
I got 3 postcards in the postcard box.
Whoa.
The P.O. box, because people, I think, were trying to activate. Remember 14 years ago when people were trying to buy more stamps and save the post office?
Yeah, I bought some.
Yeah, I did too. Well, people sent us postcards. Should I read some of these postcards?
Absolutely. Now, we should mention that this is height of COVID. But we're socially distanced in a backyard.
Outdoors in the fresh air.
It's really nice. It's one of the first, like, kind of brisk fall days of 2020.
Bearable to be outdoors longer than a half an hour.
Internet's completely gone at my house, so Mark had to bring over his computer with the emails already downloaded.
You really are pioneering over here.
I can't get cell service without Wi-Fi.
And you can't get Wi-Fi without cell service.
So I had to drive my car to another part of the city to call the goddamn cable company to tell them that they might come.
And are they going to come?
That's what I'm told.
Covered wagons and all?
You betch.
Dear Mark, thank you for your work, all of it, even the kind crappy, in the kind of crappy parts that I don't know about or didn't notice. If you think that what you do is meaningless or vapid, the substance maybe sometimes, but the method, that's where I'm affirmed in what it means to be human. And thank you for that. Sincerely, Elizabeth. This postcard's designed by Ryan Corey, a super fan of both of us individually.
Oh.
That's a picture of a post office box.
Oh,
a
it's
little
the
mailbox.
Woody Guthrie, This Machine Kills Fascists.
So then, yeah, we got a second one of those, probably,
that's
I think,
brilliant.
From Ryan.
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, this is from Ryan. I've been a longtime Super Ego and Shrimps fan. I'm digging the new Super Ego season. It's by far my favorite show. I hope this reaches you. Not sure if the P.O. box is still operational or not. Be well, and please keep making content for me to enjoy. Your pal, Ryan Corey. So that's from, I'm trying to find the postcard, the postmark on here to see. This is from September, early September of 2020, these postcards.
Oh, that's not too long ago.
This unrelated one is just a picture of Wyoming.
Oh.
Matt and Mark, a scenic stretch of old I-80 through Wyoming that I passed after making the move from the East Coast to the West Coast, a move that was shortly after the rooftop Watergate meetup.
Oh.
After listening to all the mailbag episodes, I think I'm the last one to check in. And then there's no signature, and I... Oh, it's from PJ. Thanks, PJ. Smiley stamp on there.
Oh, Guy Smiley.
We have a post office box still.
And the address is, take it away, Mark.
Mark McConville, P.O. Box 41284, Los Angeles, California, 90041, United States of America.
615 Rivera Street, Chula Vista.
Is that one of your local ad jams?
No, it was, I think I've told this before, but it was a song that we came up with for my little cousin's address so he could find his way home by remembering the song. Because we'd drop him off sometimes south of the border and just see how long it'd take.
Sure. Yeah. Which border?
Mexico, United States, because they live in Chula Vista.
I didn't want to assume.
Oh.
Like maybe you're dropping him on the Liechtenstein-Germany border.
Yeah, we've done that. We have yet to see him. He's probably in his 40s.
Just singing that song, walking through Eastern Europe.
615 Vera Street, Chula Vista.
I had this deep cut in my head the other night. Potato skins got baked potato appeal because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real. Remember potato skins, potato chips?
Now that you hum it by using words along with it, I think I do.
My wife, Christina, who I love very much, she bought these ghost chips. They're in the shape of ghosts for Halloween.
Oh, that's
thematic
fun.
Chips.
Are they just potato chips otherwise?
No, they're baked potato aberrations. They're disgusting. They taste so weird and chemically, and they reminded me of potato skins, the chips from 1986.
I'm glistening.
Did you ever have potato skins? It was a two-sided potato chip. One side looked like a regular potato chip, like a Pringle almost, and then the other side was brown, like it was the skin of the potato.
I don't think so, because I respect myself.
You want to just get to the guts of the potato. You don't want to eat the skin.
I don't even eat potato chips. I eat raw potatoes.
With salt on them?
Nope. I eat a cup of salt after as a chaser.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right. Anyway, you want to get into some of these emails?
You know it, buddy. That's why you're here. First of all, let me say it's good to see you.
And you, Maddie. It's been a very... I don't see any people.
No.
And so it's nice to just see another human being.
We're inches from each other.
French.
Face to face.
We're French hugging.
We're using the same tongue to speak.
All right, let's get into it. This is an email from Hannah, and the subject is Weird Mall Kids.
I'm listening.
Dear Matt and Mark. Oh, you just had a squirrel fight happen.
Oh, no
kidding.
They're
just chasing each other.
They run across the top of the fence like it's a shooting gallery. Now, I don't shoot them, but you know like how in a shooting gallery they...
Now here they come down here.
Oh, these guys, I know these guys.
Couple of squirrels.
Yeah, that's Reggie and Time Wash.
Hannah writes, Dear Matt and Mark, good to see you. As many, many others have said, your podcast is the greatest thing since Watermelon Kids. And now that we're all stuck at home twiddling our thumbs, looking forward to putting your goofball voices in my ear holes is getting me through. By the way, this is from April 16th.
Sorry, we've been remiss.
You probably don't remember, but my best friend Elizabeth and I wrote into the show during your last season. Hearing you open our package of weird Ohio maple bacon onion jam on the show was the single greatest moment in either of our lives. Second only the episode where Matt, eating a piece of beef jerky, coughed and squeaked beef stick in my esophagus. Anyway, a couple questions for you. Who would win in an arm wrestling match, Kubich or Sexy Ref?
Sexy ref. Yeah.
Chew, if you had to build an IKEA dresser with a Star Wars character, who would it be?
Chewie.
You'd build it with Chewie?
Yeah, because he's kind of the mechanic.
Yeah. I'd probably do it
with... Or R2.
I was going to say R2 because he's probably got different like three-dimensional specs.
There's also those pit droids from episode 1.
Yeah, there's also Didge. The pilot.
Okay, Mark.
From episode Sast.
You're not respecting the canon.
Which of the running bits on the show is your favorite? Free Throw Scriptures, Cloris Leachman, Maria's Platitudes. Well, we should talk about that.
Oh, because of that supercut?
If I maybe didn't share it, I will share it. Someone took all of Maria's post-game platitudes and did a supercut on YouTube. You can find it. I'll post it on our Twitter and Instagram. That's Shrimps Radio or at Pistol Shrimps Radio, depending on which thing you're on. Just look for it and you can find it.
I watched the 60 Minutes with Trump, Pence, Biden, and Harris.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Pence speaks in very similar platitudes.
Oh, really?
To Maria.
Just got to keep focused and look hard.
The president, he loves America and he just wants to get out there and play a good game.
Well, I sent this to Matt and Maria and sort of said, how long do you think this video is without, or maybe I asked Christina, I don't know. I talked to two people a year now.
Yeah.
But it's over an hour.
That's amazing.
It's over an hour.
How many, do you have any idea how many games we called? I'm not talking about like mailbag episodes or like,
yeah,
or
I don't
like
know.
Miniature golf.
100 at least,
wow,
I think.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It seems like close to 100 maybe.
Jeez.
But anyway, there's an hour of Maria just spouting stuff. I really liked, I like that bit. Anyway, please never stop these mailbag episodes. Listening to a new one is like hearing from old friends. Speaking of, could you give the world's biggest shout out to my boogie, Elizabeth Fellows? We've been friends since childhood, but due to quarantine and different schools, we don't get to see each other much anymore. But the Shrimps episode keep us in touch. Thanks for the laughs so hard we can't sit down sometimes. You guys have lifted so many spirits in more ways than you know. Go screw from Hannah.
Elizabeth Fellows, I'm going to use my lung to make a bellows and expel some air that I think is fair to say that this is a shout out to you and yours today.
Bagel04 writes in, Matt, can you please talk in the Koch voice for the next 3 minutes? Thank you.
Do you want to time me?
No. Well, sure. Do you want to answer
sure
emails as well, Koch?
Well, when the question's done, you can start timing me.
All right. So you're willing to do this?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next few questions.
I asked this guy to write in and say this.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Your timer starts.
Wait, don't you have to finish the question?
That was it. Would you please talk in the Koch voice for the next 3 minutes?
Yeah.
You want me to move on to the next question and that's when you start?
Sure.
Because it's from Elizabeth Fellows, the lady you just gave a shout out to.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. We're going to move on to an email from Elizabeth and Koch timer has begun. You're saying
it starts,
start it when this email is done. All right, when you want to talk.
There's strict rules for this. You haven't looked them up?
Good to see you, Matt and Mark. First, I wanted to thank you both for continuing to post mailbag episodes because hearing about absolute nonsense from you two boogies is sure helping a lot during this weird time. I'm a soon-to-be graduate from a master's program, and all job prospects are suddenly in a shit bag, so I'm writing to inquire about a position at Pistol Shrimps Radio. I'm highly skilled in many fields such as soft-eaten licorice, earning 2 American basketball points, and spoonerizing everything to the point of driving everyone in my life away. In the past year alone, I've consumed multiple handfuls of licorice. I would love to schedule time to talk about any open positions you have in such fields. I would even consider being a caretaker for Margo the Fat Guy. I enjoy pushing items off of desks while maintaining eye contact with the owner of the item, so I get along with cats pretty well. Also, who would win in a fight? Sarek Lapton or Sire Draits? My best boogie, Hannah, and I need to know so bad we can't sit down sometimes. This is from Elizabeth, and the timer starts now.
Hi. First of all, great to talk to you. And although we're hiring, in your email you said in the pasture alone, but I heard pasture like a meadow or field. So I don't remember what the second part of the sentence was, but I do know this. What other part was there that I had to answer something about?
Oh, Sarek Lapton or Sire Draits,
okay,
who went in a fight.
Well, Sire Draits is, first of all, he's the knife. He's the first one of Balvin. Sarek Lapton. Cleric, he's an eye. He's a cleric.
I'm going to pause it, Koch, and we'll move on to our next question. I feel like you've answered this.
No.
Oh, you haven't? No. Or resume the timer.
It's a cleric versus a paladin. A paladin is a knight, and a cleric, he just works at the county registrar. So I got to go with the knight. That means it's Mark Knopfler, Narc Moffler, who's also going to rat you out. You know, he works for Narcos. And how much time do I have left?
You got about a minute, 45.
I could do that in my sleep. Speaking of, hi, I haven't done this voice since quarantine started. I think I'm a little out of practice, although it does hurt my throat. I do feel like I've been stung by being a major lyric kick.
Why don't you take a pause and we'll read another question and you can answer this next question. All right, timer's paused.
Okay.
We'll move on to Edward Stanton. Hi, my favorite mailbag handlers. I'm the weird mall kid who forwarded you his own email a couple of months ago. Well, that might have been in 2020 or 2001. I'm currently keeping sane by listening to the entire podcast run again. There's an episode where you two are naming all the Harry Potter movies. I was in tears laughing. You never finished naming them all, so I'm hoping you can list the remaining ones. My favorites are Harry Potter and the Digbeef Fences and Harry Potter and the Fibbing Kidge. By the way, I'm in the Virgin America safety video, little guy deep voice is Miles Brown from Black-ish.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, J.K. Rowling, maybe that news hadn't come out when this email went around.
Just kidding, Rowling. My scandal just been a joke. Harry Potter and the Lacerated Mansion. Harry Potter and the go, you're doing great. Harry Potter and the ghost face killer. Harry Potter and the tile in the kitchen bathroom does look a little dingy. Part one. Harry Potter and I do believe the neighbors can hear me. Harry Potter and how am I going to explain this? Harry Potter and the shaved guy who takes the plant from a pot and puts it back in the ground.
Oh, so just a gardener?
It could be. Harry Potter and the cereal full of necklaces.
There's still about 30 seconds on the Koch timer.
I got that standing on my head. Harry Potter and the standing on my head, gang. Harry Potter and the acrobats of Abdagongi. Harry Potter and a bunch of people from the movie Can't Buy Me Love. That one didn't do as well. As
the movie or the Harry Potter
the
book?
The book. Harry Potter and the Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Don't you forget about me. No, no, no.
All right. Timer's done. You've done it, Matt. How do you feel?
That did hurt my voice somehow. What if I lose my Koch voice? As I grow older, like how some people lose their singing voices, you know?
Yeah. You might. I feel like that happens to people over time.
No.
If you don't,
that's
if you
that's
don't
my
use
bread
it,
and butter.
If you don't use it,
that's
you
all
lose
I got.
It. This I feel like we read already, but maybe not. I'll read it. Hi, Mark and Matt. See what I did there? Totally spoonerized your first names.
Nice.
Good job.
I thought I'd give
you an update. I'm the guy that in his last email was in the process of moving to Norway to do some medieval archaeology.
Wow.
I haven't found Olav's pipe cleaner yet. I didn't find the Grail tablets
I have
either.
No recollection of any of these things, but then I hear them and I go like, yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just a matter of time. I'm happy to report that all went well until recently I found myself working in the basement of a museum of a literal World Heritage site surrounded by artifacts that I'm still starstruck by. Anyway, that's over for now. Isolation and home office it is. Luckily, I can work from home quite well and actually have more contact with my friends back home and all over the world than I did before, thanks to the wonders of Zoom. And, of course, your regular updates keep me sane. Basically, my only evening entertainment these days is John Hodgman's live Instagram show where he interviews random people's pets every night for an hour or two till the lockdown stop.
I know. If you're reading this, not put Margo on there?
If you're reading this while still cooped up, you, or rather sweet Margot Brown and Georgia, the fat guy, should totally take part. I have taken part in this.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I was with Georgia at the dog park in my neighborhood. Early. Maybe this is pre-quarantine. I think it is. I think it's early this year, January or February. Mm-hmm. And I spent some time talking to John, and he couldn't believe the dog park.
Why?
Because it's kind of like, it's the one that's by the highway over by my house.
Yeah.
And it's kind of high-tech.
What's
like,
so high tech about
artificial
it?
Turf.
Robot dogs.
It's not flat. There's sort of like rolling hills.
Mm.
There's a lot of, it's in a kind of a bowl almost.
Oh.
It's pretty wild. Anyway, look. Actually, didn't you used to edit the Judge John Hodgman podcast way back? Is that a false memory from the early days of Max Fun? No, it's not. We both did that.
That's right. You did it longer than I did, I think.
Maybe. I hope you can soon go back to going insane due to a lack of sugar, too much sugar, Lake Street Gym, parking problems, or whatever your new show brings, rather than going insane from cabin fever, your boogie, Matthias.
Oh, that's German for my name.
All right, this one we really got to get into.
Okay.
This is from Steve Jacobson.
Seriously?
Matt, the subject line here is from April 18th, 2020. Dissatisfied listener is the subject line.
Oh,
how
no.
dare you,
oh,
both
no.
of you, accusing me of making up a fake email name in which anyone can do and only takes 2 minutes. I happen to come from a long line of Steve H. Jacobsons. My ancestors built Plymouth Rock of toothpicks. I don't appreciate having my name stolen for use on your silly super ego show. You will be hearing from my lawyer. He's a Southern fellow who represents Jason Voorhees. Anyway, thanks for reading that bucket full of silliness. Thanks for the show. Thanks for the laughs. Sincerely, not Steve. Last, maybe the last one? Someone wrote in, and I thought they changed their name to Steve Jacobson, and it turns out they probably did.
Steve Jacobsons are like Highlanders. There can only be two.
This is from Aaron Gold. Hello, boys. I've already popped up on these mailbags twice. I'm sorry for taking up your delightful attention, real estate, but I was wondering if you, couple of lovelies, would ever be interested in doing an actual play podcast, maybe something like Dungeons & Dragons or a game much less complicated. Matt S. Skeleton Gary on Harmontown is truly a treasured laugh memory of mine, and I'd love it if you two goobers started adventuring during this, the new age of staying inside and fucking around on Zoom. Much love to you two knuckleheads and you new tuckleheads. From Aaron.
Could we do Zoom Stratego? The most
no,
boring.
I don't think you could because you'd have...
You'd just have to narrate it all.
You'd need a neutral board. Right, you'd need a digital board. You couldn't set up the game exactly the same in your house and my house.
There's got to be online Stratego.
There's probably online anything you can think of.
We could play it streamed so people could see both of our sides and be like, Matt's sure dumb.
I don't think I've ever played a full game of Stratego.
Really?
Yeah. Because
it's pretty quick.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just don't think I ever had it.
It's dumb people chess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chess for Dummies,
mm-hmm.
the book,
yeah,
the game.
Stratego.
I have been playing a little Dungeons and Draggies with some people.
Yeah.
Former Super Ego guests, Chris Tallman and Derek Mears,
oh,
among
nice.
Them.
Nice.
It's fun.
What's your character?
I'm like a little academic, like a little, this little half-elf guy named Jadge.
That's
and he's obsessed with
that
dragons.
That was my nickname for my ex-girlfriend.
Jadge?
Yeah. That was, I mean, it was her nickname. I didn't give it.
You didn't give it to her?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's looking for dragon artifacts and wants to meet a dragon and is always mad and sad when he gets dirty because he's never really been out in the world. He's just been in a college library for
That's funny because when I was on Harmontown, I think my character's name for the animated one that I did was Chadge.
Mine is J-A-J with a umlaut over the A so that you get three dots.
Jadge was J-A-D-G-E.
This is and it's also
and
no one pronounces it right. The bit for me is that anyone who addresses him in role playing times, it's like, you're not saying it right. It's Jadge. It's Jadge. Whatever. Look, it's fun to do games.
Yeah,
it's
games
a good way
good.
To kill time.
I try to get Amanda to play more games. It doesn't happen.
No?
Occasionally. She really likes television. I do too, don't get me wrong, but occasionally I like to break it up.
And play a game?
No, the relationship. We got divorced for fun.
Did you get back together for profit?
Yeah, we did, and we made a mint.
Howdy do, Boogs. This is from Luke Cole. I've got a spoonerism game for you. The puzzles are called conundrums, where part of the strategy is for both of the spoonerized words to be actual words. I've only got a few examples, but it ought to be tough. It ought to be enough to get you guys started. The guy who told me these was my old lecherous British boss, and I've not taken the time to come up with any less horrible examples.
Okay.
Fortunately, as you'll see, the more grotesque part of the punchline never gets spoken.
Okay.
Okay. What's the difference between an epileptic raw bar chef and a prostitute with dysentery?
And the answer's got to be a spoonerism?
And the answer is the raw bar chef shucks and fits.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you let the person figure out that the prostitute with dysentery has a life that is challenging but also filled with valuable work and that should not be prosecuted or vilified in the public eye.
Yeah.
I think I solved this conundrum.
Yeah. Is there more?
That's it. Oh, no. Here's... This one's worse. I haven't read it, so I'm not afraid to read it.
I want to see if we can figure it out.
They're not that hard to figure out. What's the difference between a gang of pickpocket kids and murderous ladies escaping from a crime scene?
Okay, but you're not supposed to read the first spoonerism, I don't think. So read that
No,
part again.
I am, because the punchline is dirty.
Easy. I know. But I feel like we should be able to figure out everything.
You want to figure out
the setup.
What's a gang of pickpocket kids, and then what's the spoonerized murderous ladies escaping from a crime scene?
Pickpocket kids. Pickpocket thieves?
No.
Crooks?
No.
Urchins?
No.
Muggers?
No. You got to reverse engineer this and realize we're ending on a dirty.
Okay, so what's the second one?
Murderous ladies escaping from a crime scene.
Oh, it's probably got the C word in it.
It sure does, Matt.
Murderous ladies escaping from a crime scene.
I don't know why
scene.
It's murderous. It could just be so ladies escaping from a crime scene.
Is
maybe?
Lamb in there? Like on the lamb?
No.
Fleeing?
No.
Running?
Yeah.
Cunning runts.
Yep.
Okay.
Look, Luke, I appreciate the email, but come on now.
It's his lecherous boss's fault, not Luke's.
This is all about Brexit. This guy just wrote in with a spoonerism, cooking chicken fricassee for every frickin' chick I see.
Dude,
that's from Reed Kavanaugh. Good job, Reed.
Creed Ravenaugh.
This is from Becky. We're getting out of April here, Matt.
Whoa.
Thank you for putting out the mailbag episodes. They're keeping me sane while working from home. Do either of you have any advice for being productive while working from home? Because I'm struggling. Any thoughts on doing a special superego episode during this time? I saw your show last summer in Philly, and seeing everyone in action made me realize how physical some of your bits were, especially Jeremy.
Yeah. Oh,
it made me appreciate the podcast even more, and you were so kind and genuinely seemed interested in meeting each person you talked with during the meet and greet. Your kindness meant a lot to me, and I'm sure it meant a lot of people to other people that you met. Also, I think the statute of limitations of my illegal picture taken during the show has ended, so I'll share the picture I took. I feel like it's an accurate representation of each of you during a live show.
That's the sound of the police showing up to your door.
For taking a picture from European the 20th police. Row. The picture is just, I don't think you can see it from where you're sitting, but it's fine that you took a picture.
Well, to his first question, I know how to be more productive.
It's a lady, I think.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I didn't even hear the name. To her first question.
You're struggling from working from home.
How to be more productive? Don't. Give yourself a break. Let yourself be less productive. And I don't say this like I have the answers. That was the only way I've been able to handle it.
Yeah.
Then we talked about maybe doing a backyard superego recording where we would just kind of set it outside in case the sounds.
This might be the beta test for it.
Yeah.
But it's hard because we would want to do not a recording, but a sort of live
thing. No, I was talking about doing a recording of a regular superego episode, but we would just do a one-off and record it back here.
Yeah.
But the problem is I'm so busy with editing right now.
You're busier than you were maybe when you could freely go to places.
I am, yeah.
Because
and
now
I just don't have the mental bandwidth because getting to her first part, I don't have as much productivity as I used to have. And so,
yes, find also that being home, I can't compartmentalize distractions. They're just in every part of my home. There's
look how long it took us to do another one of these, which I love doing.
I do too.
And
I can't,
we're doing it now, and I feel like we should do one of these next week.
We probably will. We do have 77 emails to get through.
Oh, that's not as many as I thought. That's good.
I mean, some of them are like, would you like to be an influencer?
Wait, like from brands?
Yeah, there's just like a guy that wrote in that was like, hey, did you want to be on my influencer thing? Anyway, that's not great. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is for working from home, but you pretty much got to do it, I guess.
Well, it used to be pre-pandemic. I would work, my work stuff. I would do editing or podcasting or whatever the case may be. And then often the rest of the day, I would get something done on my own terms, like a house chore or a project or something fun and creative. Now I can't really do both of those in a day.
It's one or the other?
Yeah, so I got to sacrifice one someday for the other.
That ain't the end of the world, though.
No, that's okay. I mean,
God, it's just think this is it is the end of October and this was sent in April.
Her productivity must be total shit at this
point.
She
just must be in a cave eating swamp waters.
This email was the last thing she achieved.
All right, now we get a bunch of them. This is the guy that said, hey, do you want to be an influencer?
Okay.
Should we sign up to be an influencer, Matt?
No.
You don't think so?
Well, for
not even as a joke?
Okay.
I don't want
to
read this guy's
thing. Do I have to get my lips done or something?
I'm just sort of scanning this email to see if anything would work.
Scanning in the email.
It doesn't really. There's nothing we do that would elicit this man. This is a cold call of an email. It is just, you have a thing and an email address, and I'm going to reach out.
That's too bad. I want to be connected with brands.
Brands?
Yeah.
Like Lowe's Hardware?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned DeWalt tools on the Conan podcast, and they sent me a cordless router, which is what I mentioned I needed. And it was the happiest day of my life.
That, and you pioneered this technique on this show. Because you were like, I'd kill for some Sour Patch Kids right now.
Yeah, but that was open
source. And
sourced.
Then it happened.
This was from DeWalt.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's not like we didn't have some of that happen on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
For instance, there was a guy that worked for Danner Boots who sent us some Danner swag.
Banner dudes.
And he was very much like, if you want to buy something, I
that's
can give
right.
you a discount. So that's close.
And one time I
Field
tweeted
Notes
about...
sent us a box
oh,
of
Field
shit.
Field Notes was great. One time I tweeted about Almon Roca, and they sent me an enormous case of Almon Roca.
An enormous case?
Numnormous.
Well, speaking of that, this is from Ted, who wants to know, well, he says, I'm making gumbo today, my ultimate comfort food.
And this is
probably my dish.
And this is in May?
One that I've made 100 times.
I hope it's still sitting there.
Do either of you have a signature dish? This is from May 8th, so yes, it's from May.
That's funny, because even... when he wrote this, I did not have a signature dish.
And now you do?
Yeah, because I've been taking over. Amanda really likes to cook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a cook.
When I met you, you were eating sugary cereals and Uncrustable sandwiches.
Together again.
Sometimes at the same time.
Yeah, but I've since really improved my diet, and now I've started making breakfast on Sunday mornings. So I've been making Ian Fleming scrambled eggs.
Doodah.
Which is more butter than eggs.
Yeah, I could see that.
And cream.
Yep.
But they're delicious.
I'm sure they are, because
you're
putting a bunch of fat in them.
Yeah, but now I've scaled that back. We tried it once his way.
That's like there's an Elvis peanut butter and banana sandwich recipe that I tried. And that dude would butter both sides of the bread.
And fry it. Yeah.
But I'm talking about he'd put butter... uh-huh. Then peanut butter, then sliced bananas.
And then dyed
then
on
butter,
the toilet.
And then butter on both sides of the outside of the bread and fry it.
Yeah.
And I tried that once and was like, well, A, why is this a recipe? This doesn't really, but that's how Elvis liked it, I guess.
I bet that's good, though.
But I can relate. Just there's recipe times where you're just like, really? We're going to do a pound of butter. Seems like we could accomplish things with less.
Then I made French toast.
Okay.
Because I haven't been having sugar most of quarantine. But now I've started like on a Sunday or something. It's not a hard and fast rule. I'm not doing like a cheat day or anything. It's just like if something really nice comes along, I have it and I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But I have been missing French toast like you can't believe.
Uh-huh.
And so I made some French toast and that was fun.
So that's your specialty dish.
I wouldn't call that a signature dish though. The scrambled eggs are, but they're Ian Fleming's signature dish, not mine. I'm just borrowing it. I don't have a personal signature
dish. I'm not a good enough cook to have a signature dish.
Yeah. I mean, I could make a meal and then literally get a pen and ink and sign it.
I mean, I guess that's how you start. You got to start somewhere. I'm really not a good enough cook. I used to make chili, but it's not like... I made up the recipe.
I'm voting for chili.
I'm voting for chili.
Have you, during quarantine, have you, like, taken on anything new? Because cooking and gardening for me have been two new things that I never would have seen coming.
I have just been pedal steeling with spare time.
That's more honorable. When I say gardening, it's really just watering plants.
Spraying water on stuff. I have been doing a little bit of that, and then I also have been doing the New York Times crossword puzzle and the spelling bee, because it's all on my iPad.
But didn't you used to do that anyway?
I gave it up a long time ago.
Oh.
because I just thought I have things to do and places to be. And now that I don't have either one of those things, really, yeah. I have some time on my hands to do that.
You know me, I was a lifelong crossworder, but I switched to Sudoku during quarantine for some
reason. Yeah, I also solved the Will Shorts Puzzle Master.
Oh, really? I solved that code out in front of the CIA building. But I'm not telling.
I wouldn't. Who's taking over when Will Shorts decides to retire?
Won't Longs.
This is from Jenna, a long-time fan.
Come on. You can't just move past that one.
No, I have to. That, I think it's the only response.
Oh, I just want to sit in that one for a second.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Puzzle Novice, Won't Longs.
L-O-N-G-Z.
Has he? Do you think he's done that puzzle?
What?
What's my opposite of my name?
I think he probably started there.
Hey.
We listen to the Sunday Puzzle every Sunday. Sunday and then I try to solve the puzzle of the week.
Yeah. I told you I met him once, right?
Yeah, you were starstruck.
I did. I look like a stalker. I like you.
I like you. This is from Jenna Yamada, who you know.
She's the cookie monster.
I've been trying to refrain from writing to you guys to give you a break. But you keep releasing mailbag episodes, so here I am. I met fellow boogie Kristen Suver on Joco Cruise this year, and I wanted to give her a shout-out. She screamed when she saw my Pistol Shrimps radio shirt, and I pulled her away from her table mates to grab a photo with me. We had such a blast talking about these, our shrimps, and these, our beloved broadcasters. Thanks for introducing me to a kind, funny person who I likely wouldn't have met, save for Pistol Shrimps radio. We both love Kubich, so if he could say hi to Kristen, that would be great.
Hi, Kristen. It's my Kubich. Whoa-oh, got to go. I have a garage sale to go to.
Are you going to a garage sale,
Yuck.
Well, are you buying things? Or are you
a garage?
You're going to buy a garage.
It's a big box container storage sale. Only garage.
Okay, so this place that you're going is selling discounted buildings to put a car and tools in.
Yuck.
And that's what you need? Why do you need that?
I don't know.
You just, it's an impulse buy?
Yeah.
You can't resist a good deal?
Window shopping for garage.
You were window shopping for a garage.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't really. I just don't, you were just out and about.
These boys hurt too.
Kubich, how do you feel about coronavirus? Are you being safe? Are you social distancing?
Pretty good.
You're pretty good? Like, what are some of the things you've been doing during this pandemic?
Kissing, oiling, rubbing, play hokey pokey.
Okay. It's a lot of physical activity here.
French hugging.
What are you oiling?
Each other's.
Oh, people?
Have I forgotten this voice?
No, that's pretty much it. Thanks for coming, Kubich. This is from Abby. I've been listening to Super Ego since season 2 when I was a 15-year-old girl. I remember being desperate to be done with Girl Scout camp so I could get my iPod Nano back and listen to Janice Caff and her extra medium robe.
That's amazing.
I can't keep it open. It's an extra medium.
I miss
Janice Caff.
You want
some pumpkin ale? I poured beer in this old gourd.
To this day,
here's
Super
a straw. Dog's video cassette copy.
You want to look at my poster of Johnny Depp that I drew with my beard? His name's Rick.
The beard?
Yeah. Look, Super Ego's my comfort food. It calms me in tough times and is like a familiar blanket when I'm having a hard time falling asleep. All the content you have created over the years has meant extraordinarily much to me. You have ruined my lexicon and phraseology, so I'm constantly saying weird shit, and people are like, what? And I briefly consider explaining it, but nobody likes that, so I just say, never mind, go screw. You both have been a huge influence on my sense of humor and my desire to do comedy. Mark, knowing that you're from the Twin Cities area helped me realize that even Midwest fucks like us can do it. I did a brief stint in stand-up, but turns out the Minneapolis comedy scene is a hellscape for women and non-sociopaths. So I noped out before too long.
She should go to the triplet cities.
Yeah. Did you know there's a Quad Cities and a Twin Cities, but not a Tri... I guess there's
Tribeca.
That's a neighborhood.
Well, try
the triangle that's below Canal. That's
is that right?
That's
what
it stands
means?
For, yeah.
They could have come up with a better name
than
that.
The triangle below Canal Street, yeah. However, hearing about the amazing comedy women of the Pistol Shrimps restored my faith that it can be done in the right environment with a supportive community so the dream's not completely dead. That's nice to hear. Matt, through some miracle of degrees of separation, I coerced a mutual acquaintance to ask you to record an outgoing voicemail message for me as Hey Really Giger. I couldn't believe that you actually did it and even put the patented Gorley audio engineering quality on it. It's amazing and hilarious and remains my most treasured possession.
Aww.
Thank you both. I don't mind saying it, and I don't mind spraying it. I love you, Abby.
That's nice.
Thanks, Abby.
Thank. I can't even do a voice because they're all blended now. Like, well, they're all
Giger
in the same little chest, and they come out at the same time.
Your
that was Giger, Kubich, and Koch all came out at the same time.
Oh, they did?
Hello. Okay. I think I know who I am. Let me take a look in the mirror. Oh, no. It's a Quicksilver mirror, but instead of a kind of mercury flowing through it, it's, I don't know, a black bile that is also my octopus's teacher, Squid Ink. Have you seen my octopus's preacher?
By Ringo Starr?
In a garden.
This is a question, Matt, that you get asked a lot. But I don't think you've ever been asked this on this show.
Gemini.
Matt, has Conan ever listened to Super Ego? Does he know that beyond being a great producer, you are the perfect comedy compliment to him? Would his mind explode if he heard a Cloris Leachman rhyme? From Mike.
No.
No, I don't think it would.
No to all of
Conan
those.
Has seen it all, heard it all. He's written on The Simpsons and Saturday Night Live. He's leathered in the comedy universe. He truly, it's not that he's incapable of delight. Here I'm answering this question for you. But my take on it would be anybody who's been doing comedy for a while, just you get sort of, I don't know, stuff's got to be really kind of unique to be very funny. Not to say that Super Ego is not unique, or that if he heard it he wouldn't like it, but the dude's been around the block.
Yeah, I can't speak for him. He's a strange guy.
Full stop. This one is titled Let Matt Read One.
In your face, Mark.
But then would you like to read this one?
Sure. Okay. I mean, it seems like that was the
okay.
Has to happen.
This is from Matthew. I'll pass you the lappy.
Dear Matt, Mark has been trying to kill you. No. Hey, Shrimps, please let Matt read a sailbag submission. Mark gets to read them all, and Matt is clearly too nice to say anything about it. I have no problem with this.
I have the email address.
I don't want to read them. But Matt's have each other's backs. Let Matt read one. Thanks, Mabugs. Matt from CT. P.S. Mark, here's some sweet mascot action from my high school alma mater. It's a hyperlink. When I was a student there in the late 90s, I led the effort to get this Viking mascot costume purchased. What if the reason I don't read is we found out I can't read?
It might be that.
Yeah. Effort to get this Viking mascot costume purchased and ran a contest to name him. It was part of an elaborate plan to get on the field and assist him in slingshotting t-shirts at people in the stands. Not to them, at them. Glory days. They'll pass you by. Glory days. Matthew Gianquinto. That's a great last name. Matthew Gianquinto.
Let Matt read one. Look, you did it, Matt. How did it feel?
I'm ready to let you have it back. I feel exhausted.
While we're sitting here, I just got a text from the Los Angeles County Registrar that my vote has been received and will be counted.
How do you do that?
How do I do what?
How do you get that confirmation?
I use something that I am dubious of, but also I feel like I've researched enough.
Russian vote check.
Close. Ballot tracks.
Oh, that's right.
With an X.
Oh, yeah. You said that. That's right.
Ballot tracks, and I think it's .net. Nothing about it feels
great.
The
reason I feel like it's probably right is because by the time a civic institution or whoever good, well-meaning person did this, Russians had taken all the legitimate names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just Steve from Costa Mesa was like, I'm going to sit on all these domain names.
Ballot track CK.
Ballot tracker.
Yeah.
Matt tracker.
Talent brack. Oh, man.
It always comes back to mask. But I feel like we should stop reading for 1 second and say, if you haven't voted and you need to vote. If you're a United States citizen.
I don't see the point.
Oh, we want to do a counterpoint on that?
Yeah, point, counterpoint.
Okay, I think you should vote because it's democracy in action. It's one of the only ways that you can make your voice heard. You know, it's representative government. It's the only way that it continues on. So I would encourage you to go and vote. I know who I voted for, and I would gladly tell you privately, but I'm not going to do that on this podcast. I'm just going to tell you, go out and vote. Do some research. Vote for local candidates, too.
I don't think you should vote, because has anyone ever voted for you? If someone's ever voted for you for something, vote. Also, it wastes paper, and I voted for Trump.
I know people have voted for you.
For what?
You won a toilet flushing sound effects contest, and they had to have voted for that.
Well, it was judges. I don't think judges vote. They decide.
Okay. You never ran for student council?
Yeah, I was vice president my freshman
okay.
year.
And were you ever to travel? Were you a travel? Were you ever able to travel with the class president, or did they have to keep you separate? Like, it's separate wings of the school.
Yeah, we had to see separate bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And then was there ever like a designated survivor moment where sort of the class comptroller had to stay home during the big prom function?
I killed the freshman class president.
You did?
Yeah.
And then did you become president?
No, because they figured it out.
Okay.
And I was in juvenile hall.
Did you have to go to high school jail?
Yeah. Fred C. Nellis School for Fellas. I was publicity in senior year of high school. Publicity chair on ASB.
Oh, Matt, this one's right up your alley. Go ahead and vote. I think you should vote, no matter what Matt says.
Go ahead and vote, but voting day is November 4th.
No, it's not. It's the 3rd.
Of December.
November.
Try to remember.
Toby wants to know.
You know that. You know I'm a big voter. I love
it. I know. Your politics is like your sports.
This is all we're doing. Hardcore jokes.
Yeah.
These are adult, hardcore, in-the-know kind of comedy jokes that if you don't get it, then you're not listening to the right podcast.
Yeah. This is the stuff of George Carlin, of Richard Pryor, of Carlos Mencia.
Marlos Kencia.
Hey, Matt and Mark, thanks for the many hours of goofs over the years. I started listening to Pistol Shrimps Radio in the early days, and it helped introduce me to so many other wonderful podcasts. Matt, I'm about to start building 200 linear feet of bookshelves and was wondering about your thoughts on joinery. Pocket hole jig, pocket Joel pig, biscuit joint, join, jisket boin, or should I just go screw?
Wait, 200 linear feet, is that the amount of boards you're using to make a bookcase, or you're literally making 200 linear feet of bookcases?
You're the wood man. I don't know what this means. 200 like, linear feet?
I'm assuming he means board. Linear
like
feet of wood. That's how much wood.
Lumber is being used to make a single bookshelf for one book.
That's what I should do.
You should build individual bookshelves for one book and just have hundreds of them for all of your books. Every time you get a book, you have to build a new miniature bookshelf.
Or it's floor to ceiling, but it's only wide enough for one book on each shelf.
Are you custom measuring, you know, if you have a big, thick thesaurus? Or
you send me what four books you want in this shelf.
Oh, it's a four book?
Well, it has four shelves.
But each book,
it's about like 3 inches wide.
Okay. But I'm saying if I got a real slim paperback, like I got more Halloween Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Which is probably 8 pages.
Yeah.
And then I also got Moby Dick.
Yeah.
You would do a custom width on the bookshelf?
I'd saw down Moby Dick.
The book?
Yeah.
You'd actually cut the book down to the
and
smallest
the whale.
Book size.
All right.
Well, listen, I think your joinery question all depends on what you're going for here. If this is just kind of like rustic, what kind of wood are you using? And I don't purport to be an expert here, but if it is just kind of like this is a utilitarian shelf to put a 200 linear feet of four shelf books on, just screw them. Go screw.
Go screw.
But if you're building a real heirloom piece or like a built-in or something for a nice place, then you might want to consider some joinery.
Well, I have terminal disease and I'm not going to be on this planet much longer, Jimmy, but I did want to leave you this 200-foot linear bookshelf that I biscuit joined by myself, and I hope that that's enough to get you started on whatever venture you've got.
My venture is 201
linear feet of bookshelf, so you got me most of the way there. By the way, I'm just as old and just as terminal.
So why did I leave you my handmade bookshelf in my will? I didn't want it to go into probate.
I left you one in my won't.
Shorts.
Longs.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you might want to look into some dovetail joints. I think those work well for shelves. You know what I hate? I've never been able to do biscuit or dowel joints well.
Maybe you should.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You could try that in the next year of not being able to go anywhere. That's ahead of us.
I'm going
to
use a lot of butter.
Look, this guy says, I was thrilled to see a new episode. Thanks, guys. You've gotten me through tough times and listening. He does not want his name read.
So. By the way, do you feel like with all this, it's so nice to see an episode during quarantine? I feel horrible that we haven't done one for how many months now?
Yeah, well, look. Time's a flat circle, man.
Yeah.
Listening to you chat about not much at all gives me a warm at home feeling I don't get anywhere else. Real quick, if the mid-century A-frame in Ozark is anything like the one I lived in, there's no room for lighting in that loft. You get 7 feet at the apex and 4 feet near the walls. Remember that, Matt? You were really bothered by why they weren't up in the top of that A-frame.
I still am.
I could see lighting, the practical lighting of making television would be an issue.
Yeah. But, I know, but they still but then they eventually did go up there, right? I think.
Also, they're parkways because they used to go through or to get to parks. And then he recommends a book about Robert Moses, who designed a bunch of New York City and made a lot of parkways.
Oh, that's I know that book.
Power Broker.
Yeah. Why does this guy not want to be known?
He said, please don't read my name out. I'm weird about being anonymous online, and I will respect that.
Oh, I understand that.
And his name is Ridge Calabas.
And his name is Joseph Biden Jr. Can you tell me his name? I just want to know the secret.
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Okay. Dan Bilbich.
Ragumo Talates.
Hello, Mark and Matt.
Have I talked about how Rolo Tomasi, which is a character from... L.A. Confidential.
Uh-huh.
I must have spent so many sleepless nights going, that's got to be an anagram.
And then what'd you come up with?
Nothing.
Yeah, I even put sneakers. Yeah, watch Sneakers. They do anagrams in that movie.
I know, but they don't in L.A. Confidential. That's for sure, because I even ran it into an anagram finder, and I got nothing. But you're telling me you're naming a character Rolo Tomasi, and you're not me?
Yeah.
And it's not an anagram?
How did you not write that? Yeah, Rolo Tomasi.
I got to meet that author.
That Hopper? What?
The author.
Oh, the author. I thought you said I got to meet that Hopper.
We're two of a kind.
This is from a different Dan.
As one.
Matt, today is Mother's Day.
Ay.
Sorry we didn't get to this. Uh-oh. As my wife sleeps, I am cleaning the house and listening to the Bail Mag. She's a registered nurse working nights at the hospital here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So she's a hero and a damn good mom. And perfect, other than the fact that she hates improv comedy and your podcasts.
She is perfect.
That being said, she's a good sport, and on the rare occasion I listen without headphones, she lets it go without a word. So I'm hoping you might spend 30 seconds about talking about any of these things that she enjoys. Milwaukee sports.
The Brewers took on the Twins, and they met the Bucks.
Dan, for real, if your wife likes Milwaukee sports, I got the thing for you. I talked to former Milwaukee resident Dave Tooney. He's a comedy actor on my podcast, Mascots. We talked for over an hour about Bango the Buck, Bernie Brewer, the sausage races.
The Pim's Cup kid.
Matt, this might actually resonate with you. The Brewers used to play at County Stadium. Then they built a new ballpark called Miller Park. Miller Brewing. The heart and soul of Milwaukee is beer.
Yeah.
And then this year, the naming rights lapsed, and now that place is called the American Family Insurance Ballpark.
Jesus.
And the team is the Brewers, who brew beer. You can't do it. You can't change the name of that ballpark to something that isn't beer.
Because beer has so often undone American families.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a sports question?
You got beer insurance?
Oh, yeah. So
go ahead, ask me a sports question.
What's a Junior Seau?
Oh, he was a great player. It was his name.
Okay, but why have I just been saying that in my head for the past 3 days?
I don't know.
When was he and what did he?
He was a linebacker. He played mostly for the San Diego Chargers. And then
Dan Fouts?
Yeah.
But later?
He's tragic, man. He was really, really good. And then conventional wisdom is that he probably had CTE, which is a concussion-based brain disorder that starts to cause like violent tendencies and very nasty brain stuff.
Yeah.
And he, I believe, killed himself, and I believe he shot himself. He like didn't damage his brain because he wanted scientists to look at
his
brain.
Wait, was he the guy that the Netflix special was about?
There's a couple of people that have done this.
What's the guy on the Netflix show?
Which Netflix show?
The one that you watched on the airplane and then later I watched.
I don't remember.
Coming home. Mark, I told you.
Oh, a different voice.
Hi, I'm option number 4.
We watched a show.
You were coming home from Super Ego like on the East Coast?
Oh, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, that's okay.
They also think he probably had CTE.
Yeah.
There's a wrestler, Chris Benoit, who used to do these like high diving pro wrestling things that involved him like flying headbutts.
Oh.
And he killed his whole family and himself. Like, brutal.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah. Well, Junior Seau, we miss you. And I'm sorry this happened to you and yours.
And Senior here, that felt nice.
Also, happy Mother's Day to Dan's wife.
So did we get her? Talk
about, there's more topics. 30 seconds on the Real Housewives.
We even ruined that. Oh, Denise Richards is on there.
And, is she?
And Kyle Richards, two women from genres of movies that I love.
What genres?
James Bond.
Okay.
And Halloween.
Got it.
Horror and spy.
I don't think I've seen more than a minute of a Real Housewives show.
Amanda's crazy for him.
Yeah. And that is not on my radar. I know that it exists. I wouldn't know what it's like.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer's wife was on it?
I don't know.
That might be true.
Okay. Amanda made us drive to one of the houses in Pasadena to look at it.
How about patio furniture?
She's on there.
No. That's the next topic for this month.
Oh, okay.
Patio furniture.
Okay.
It's great.
Oh.
We're sitting in it right now.
That's right. We're sitting on a kind of like rattan wicker things. And
if you live where I do, you got to cover up your patio furniture
because
it gets real dusty and nasty. And there's
with
no
the fires, we had
fires, and
up.
I live by a freeway.
Ours gets, we have to too. In fact, it's almost that time of year. We were trying to hold out, but it's getting kind of the leaves.
Also, I got to get your opinion on this. We got a big, huge, like 10 or 12 foot teak table.
Yeah.
And it's looking real rough.
You got to sand it and oil it, man.
Sand it and oil it. That's what I
thought. Even though sanding isn't that important, it's the oiling. We got teak oil if you need to borrow some.
Oh, you do?
Because every year when we open summer opening season, we have to oil
the deck? Or the
deck,
furniture?
The deck and the furniture.
Our furniture never looked like this, Matt.
That's because we oiled them.
You have a beautiful, vibrant brown color. My teak table is just a gray funeral pyre.
No. Well, some people like,
ours
that's a choice.
Ours was distressed. When we bought it,
okay,
it was like a distressed.
Well, then you're
look.
Never going to get it back to that.
No, I don't want it back to that.
But it wouldn't.
But it also looks sad.
Yeah. Then if it's distressed, it's probably pretty dry, so you could sand it down and then give it an oil.
I did hit it with a power washer, and it took off a layer of something.
Yeah.
And that was not advisable. So now I got to do the whole thing probably. Anyway, that's patio furniture.
Teak's pretty resilient. Problem
finally,
is, Jin wait, we're not done. Problem is, sometimes you're buying teak and they'll tell you it's teak, but it's acacia or eucalyptus or cypress. Don't buy it. It'll last you a year, and it's always going to be at cost plus or Pier 1 imports. Teak is more expensive, but you will pay less over time.
We went to a place that just sells teak. They don't sell
teak
anything.
Warehouse?
That's it.
That's where we got those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Teak Warehouse.
And they're weird in their own right.
Oh, they were the weirdest.
Yeah, they're real weird.
It was hard to get them to sell us some things. They did not want to sell us a thing.
They're real scary because it's not cheap, because you're like, these are long-term investments.
Yes.
But when they deliver them, they're real serious about, you need to look this over, and if this is not perfect, you have to say so, because you will never see us again.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final topic for this nurse on Mother's Day, May 10th, gin and tonics.
Oh, love them.
They're delicious.
Now, I prefer like to talk about them like they're attorneys general. Let's have some gins and tonic.
Yeah, emphasis on the gin for sure.
Yeah. Well, I've often said my favorite gin and tonic. Now I'm mixing up with a Townland song.
Say it.
Gin Atomic.
Don't you mean gin's atomic?
Is good gin shitty tonic.
Oh,
I don't like those artisanal tonics.
No. In fact, for me, my lovely wife pointed this out. Regular tonic water, tons of sugar.
Yeah, that's why
I
haven't had
diet tonic.
Oh, but that's of all the diet drinks, diet tonic is one of the worst.
Well, if you put enough gin in there, you won't even
know.
That's
true.
And then you squeeze a fresh lime in there.
Gins and tonics since I've been off sugar.
Yeah,
I miss it. Yeah, put lots of lime juice in there.
Yeah,
but I like Botanist gin.
Botanist. I'll drink Tanqueray. I'll drink Ryan Reynolds's gin. I don't care.
Does he really have a gin?
Aviator gin. Aviation gin. Anyway, Ryan Reynolds, send us some gin. Come on the show, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. And Reynolds Ryan.
You think he ever does a Reynolds rap?
Like an actual hip hop song?
No, like he covers his food.
No.
While doing hip hop.
No, I know for a fact he doesn't.
This guy, Will, says, keep on shrimping in the free world. I feel like we definitely already read this.
Lay it on me. I'm sure I'll remember.
Quick, let me just see this thing. Okay, so he wrote us in April, and then he wrote back. Quick follow-up. My friend put out a call for various art and writing in order to produce a quarantine zine of our local artists. I decided to write as much shrimp-inspired Bible verses as I could in the few days I had. This is a huge, it looks like a old religious text, and it's just a bunch of scripture
from
that
ours,
this man,
or he just made it up.
He made them. This is a big old bucket of biblical shit 'em ups, and it's all one sentence.
Oh my god,
that's enormous. Yeah, coffee table books depicting the national parks and their many geysers is just a little excerpt from this enormous
wow
piece of art. That's from Will. This is from Shelby. Shelby. Hello from your New York City Thanksgiving pals.
Wait, Shelby?
Because Shelby let me go to her office and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade.
Oh,
1 year.
Oh, wow.
And it was really a lovely thing. And then I reached out the last time I was in New York, and she said, our office has moved. We're no longer there. And then I was sad.
Oh.
But I did get to see the parade anyway. We moved from Queens to the New Jersey suburbs. Your voices have brought true joy as we navigate isolation. Tell Kubich, our son also appears to be working on an impression of him. My questions are often answered with a yash or a notch.
Yash, notch.
I think he'll be up to full sentences by the time this is over. Thanks for hours of laughter. Stay safe. Go screw. That's from Shelby.
Every time someone answers in the affirmative, I get a yash notch in my belch.
This is a quick one from David. Matt, does your driver's license still say Matthew James Duke Gourlay?
Yes.
Does it?
Yeah.
You put it on there as a little joke?
In high school.
And it's still?
Because it was so difficult to get off. I can't remember why. I haven't
And
tried
it was to... also difficult to change your name on your driver's license?
Hello. Just to get turned on, I got to go to the DMV. But I was trying to get, we were like, refinancing and messing with the deed or something, and
came back to haunt you.
Yeah, it comes back to haunt me more than I. But did I tell the story that it was a stupid joke I did in high school? We had nicknames. My nickname was Duke, but then later come to find that my grandpa's nickname was Duke, and so it was kind of nice.
You feel all right about it?
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
And I don't have anything like that, but my wife went by Christy in high school for like a few years. And when she first started working for Disneyland, she was Chris. People knew her as Christy. So if I meet old friends of hers,
yeah,
and they drop a Christy on her, I know like, oh, you're from this era of her life.
Right.
But she will sometimes get mail that is addressed to Christy Rogers.
Oh.
And it's so weird. And she's just like, I guess that's probably from when I worked. Because she probably was putting that in paperwork of some kind that then someone is referencing. But years later.
That happened to Amanda because she used to go by a different identity for a while. She was the BTK killer.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes people will stop her on the street.
Will you ever get like a Uline catalog for the BTK killer?
Yeah, and those things are heavy.
Yeah. Just like random pieces of mail.
And what's worrisome is that the Uline thing has a lot of like tools that you can use for binding, torturing, and killing.
I don't see the connection.
Wait, is it ATM machine like BTK killer? Is that also the same problem?
Yeah, he's the bind, torture, kill killer. This is from Anne Marie. I was excited to see a new episode in the Shrimps feed lately for a delightful distraction from the ridiculous state of everything these days. Would you be so kind as to give a shout out to my husband, Caleb? For that matter, how about a shout out to our cats, Ripley, Liesel, Thorsten, and Matilda? I don't think the cats really care about podcasts, but we can't leave them out of the Pistol Shrimps fun. Well, Caleb, Ripley, Liesel, Thorsten, and Matilda, I'm glad all of you have tails. All of you like bowls of milk. All of you like to poop in a box full of sand and gravel.
What are the cats' names again? Ripley from Alien.
Liesel.
From Sound of Music.
Thorsten.
I don't know what that would be. With an O?
Yeah, like the Norse god Thor and then S-T-E-N.
Hmm.
Oh, it's probably, they probably got this cat on Thor's 10th birthday.
Yeah.
Thor's 10.
Yeah, Thor's 10.
And then Matilda.
From The Professional.
I guess.
Will you write back in and let us know what Thorsten's from?
Yeah.
And we'll answer it in 2028.
Take care. Remember, when life gives you lemons and ruffles your feathers, make sure you put up your dukes, turn that frown upside down, and tell yourself A for effort, B for Beffert. Anne Marie. Then she sent me a picture of Madison, Wisconsin. Just that's State Street where normally many students will walk and go to Insomnia Cookies or Cold Stone Creamery or any number of bars and shops. And it is. There's one guy on the street back in May. Ooh.
Wow.
Anyway, you ready for another one?
Yeah.
This is from Charles. Hey, my boogies. Thanks for the mailbag shows. I'm about to tell you probably the best idea I've ever had in my life.
Whoa.
The Star Wars Extended Universe buddy cop show Mando and Lando would be can't-miss appointment TV. Mando's the straight-laced one. He plays it by the book, and he has a new wife at home. Meanwhile, Lando, let's just say Lando plays by his own rules. He's single, so you're just as likely to find him out on the town as taking out perps. Admiral Ackbar is the chief, always chomping a cigar and keeping
sense.
A giant fish eye on things. He put them together, hoping that Mando would put the reins on Lando, but now he's regretting it.
Mando, Lando, get in my office. You two womp rats blew up half the sector last night. I've got the regional governor breathing down my neck, and I do not need this right now.
Hey.
Another stunt like that, and I'll have your asses pushing paper till you retire.
Hey, that was too much. I guess you heard about my little maneuver at the Battle of Tanab.
I'll try to keep him under control.
What's this little Yoda baby?
Before you say anything, I know they technically don't overlap in the canonical timeline, but who on God's green fucking
sure
cares? Thank you, Charles.
They do overlap. They haven't shared any movies.
Do they overlap?
Yeah, because
figure it out, Star Wars calculator.
Mandalorian takes place right after Jedi, right? Or not long after, because the Empire has fallen.
I don't have a good answer for this.
I do. That's it.
That is it?
Yeah.
It's between Jedi and...
It's post-Jedi, and Lando, as we know, he comes back around in Rise of Skywalker, so he's doing something for all those years.
Yeah, probably buddy copping it up with the Mandalorian. Does Admiral Ackbar fit in there, though? Doesn't he get it in Return of the Jedi?
No, he dies in Last Jedi, very unceremoniously. Register the disdain in my voice. Oh, no. They're doing a Tybana gas heist down at Sullust 5.
I'd watch that show, I guess.
At this point, who cares?
This is from S. John Swanson. Have you ever considered releasing a Super Eagle vinyl LP? I've been collecting records since the 70s and would love to add a Super Eagle album to my comedy section right between the Smothers Brothers and Robin Williams. I already have the Flexi disc, but I can't help thinking that back in the day, Super Eagle albums would have been just as popular as Firesign or Monty Python records. Thanks, Steve. He's a true fan who hates basketball but loves Clueless play-by-play.
We looked into it once, but it was prohibitively expensive.
Especially right? for what we had done. And also it felt like, would we do like a greatest hits?
I guess.
Because I don't know that a Super Ego episode
we'd
of its
just
own.
Just Chocolate Crew.
It would just be episode 29 on vinyl. I can't see that. I could see doing the best of sketches.
We could do that, and we could open it up to a survey of what do you want to include.
But anyway, look. Yeah, I mean, it's just too... Without the guarantee of selling them, we'd almost have to pre-sell them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the part I'm not good at.
I know. Have we mentioned we're not productive right now? Super Ego's definitely in a dormant phase.
Yeah. Not gone, just...
Never gone.
Hard to do it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone? This guy wants to know things about later, lesser, and lamer. I want to thank you for the laughs. It means a lot to have my brain occupied by hours of silliness. I can't believe I'm writing this sentence, but I got around to listening to Robert Plant's 29 Palms,
yes.
And I love it.
Yes.
If Matt has the time and interest, maybe he could make and share a later, lesser, lamer playlist. I'm also on board for the mystery Patreon project that you mentioned back in December. I've been loving Mascots and Bananas for Bonanza, but I miss that special absurd magic you two have together. Thanks for what you do. Hope your families are doing well given the circumstances. Cheers, Adam.
I do too. And our future project is highly contingent on there not being a pandemic.
Our future project is also highly contagious.
Yeah. Although I was thinking that whenever the time is that we can get back in there, our project itself could kind of be, whenever it's safe, not in a kind of like Trump way, but a rallying of like, it's the vaccines here or whatever. It's time to get back and support your local, let's just say, businesses.
Yes.
You know,
no,
what I mean?
Think, yeah, I think there is a good.
There's a good side to that.
The
yeah.
thing we should do is be ready the minute we can start doing it.
Yeah.
So that we can do it. And I don't see that happening.
We're not even to the point where we can get ready yet.
We're not even to the point where we do this on a regular basis.
We haven't even gotten ready to get ready.
I'm not wearing clothes.
I'm only wearing clothes.
So, this is from Marty.
Marty!
Hey, Bugs. Hope the quarantine's going well. Your show brought my friend and I closer as we laugh about spoonerisms and call each other my boogie. Well, isn't that sweet?
That is nice.
Your humor keeps people moving in tough times, so I'm happy to see y'all keeping up. Whether it be this or another show. Mark, I recently listened to Mascots and thoroughly enjoyed it. If you ever need any mascot help, I was a mascot in high school, college, and professionally for a AAA minor league baseball team.
Ooh.
I know the game pretty well, from lifelike costumes to shells to blow-ups.
What's a... Oh, like
inflatable costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Those are fun. I bought one of those for my wife's birthday. I dressed up like an octopus.
I saw it. Her octopus teacher.
It was fun.
Yeah.
You should watch that Octopus Teacher if you haven't watched it.
I already did.
It's great. I'm talking to the listener, Matt. I'm looking at you, but I'm talking.
Okay, you really shamed me. I've also listened to The Fresh Air about it, so I've probably done more on it than you have.
Did you dress up like an octopus?
That's all I did.
Matt, your H.R. Giger impression and able to rattle off random phrases almost like verbal diarrhea has been an inspiration in the oddest way. I guess it's to show that I can always speak my mind, even if it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. Now go screw. And that's from Marty.
Funny. Oh, funny you should mention verbal diarrhea, because that is literally what I have. It comes out and says, I've been sick. Do I look green to you? Oh, no, I'm basically all soupy.
Sales.
The comedian with diarrhea.
I feel like Soupy Sales probably has a tight 10 on diarrhea.
Soupy Sales or Salad Returns?
I guess.
Salady Returns.
Salady. I'm getting some Salady Returns here.
Hi, I'm sit down depressing talker, Salady Returns.
pressing talker.
Sometimes I just got to be expedient. I can't think of what it is.
This name is very familiar to me, Matt. John Arminio.
Yeah, he's
he's written
been
before.
A listener, I think, to Superego too. I know
he wrote
that
a letter.
Well.
He's written emails. He wanted to extend further thanks for doing this during these stressful as heck times. You're both an inspiration. I was recently honored to be a guest on the Pink Smoke podcast to discuss James Bond in the 60s.
Smink Pope.
We plan on going through all the Bond films decade by decade in the future. It was an absolute joy and privilege to do so, but I never would have had the language or confidence if it wasn't for Mr. Gourley's podcasting adventures, particularly James Bonding. I've always been a Bond fan, but the Matts Gourley and Myra took, for example, in the shade of tan in a Roger Moore suit, or the cheesiness of one line, truly increased my love for the franchise and gave me a framework for how to communicate that love.
That's
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I read that sentence correctly?
I'm probably going to watch a James Bond movie today because our internet's out and I can't stream anything.
Yeah, that's a real kick in the DIC kick.
That's like BTK killer.
Kick in the dick kick. Pistol Shrimps Radio is an even broader benefit for me and how I would want my own podcasting persona to come. Most days I'm often rather cynical, taking a gloom-tinted view of the world. Easy to do these days, I tell you what. But the way in which you are able to elicit laughter just conversing with each other about spoonerisms, mall kids, or whether or not Downeaster Alexa is the greatest song of the 20th century lifts my spirits and inspires me. I've been a guest on numerous podcasts. I always try to keep in mind the sheer fun that you two have together and how that makes the experience such a joy for the listener. Whether I'm talking about weird cult horror movies, Ingmar Bergman, or James Bond. Matt, Mark, thanks for everything you do. Cruising through Block Island Sound, John Arminio. Which Bond villain has the best name to spoonerize? I'm a fan of Dugo Hax or Noctor Doe.
Dugo Hax was the first thing that came to my mind. Noctor Doe's pretty good. Hold on. Saul Rilva. Zax Moron. That's the one.
Hey, dudes, big fan of Superego. This is from Paul Rice.
Raul Pice.
From the episodes I've heard somehow, he's a Superego fan, but he got into Pistol Shrimps Radio, and he's loving it. From the episodes I've heard somehow, you guys are absolutely baffled by the idea that anyone enjoys the show at all. I wonder if the big ingredients are your chemistry, self-depreciation, and some absolutely bananas stream of consciousness, fugue state word jazz. Maybe
Wait,
I'm
self-depreciation.
Way off.
Do you mean self-deprecation?
That's what it says. I read depreciation and it's deprecation.
I love that we've self-depreciated. When Isn't I started just, this podcast, I was worth a cool $1.6 million.
Isn't that just what aging is?
Yeah, I think
self-depreciation. Oh, my hips aren't as strong as they used to be.
Sell now.
I got a pain down here.
You are not for all markets.
If you died right now and the show had to go on, who else from the comedy world would you choose to replace each of you? Love you.
Oh, like, are we going for what we kind of are or to bring something new?
I have another question. Is it Pistol Shrimps Radio with Matt Gourley and I died and you have to come up with a replacement and vice versa? Is it Pistol Shrimps Radio with Mark McConville and Matt's replacement?
I'll think all
or
we can
we
do.
Did we both die in a bizarre podcasting accident?
Today.
And then we have to have someone take it over.
I think all we can do is replace ourselves. And then.
I have to choose my own
adventure. Mm-hmm.
I have to choose my own successor.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Well, you have to.
I have to?
Yeah.
Or what?
You're going to die in a podcasting accident.
But
then you'll have no one to replace you.
Okay. So I need to pick someone to replace me.
Yeah.
I guess I'll pick my 4-year-old nephew.
And I choose George Clooney.
Bob writes, today's May 14th. I'm getting so much joy about how long it took to get. Like, I don't think this question is going to be relevant anymore at all. I'm a 7th grade teacher in Virginia. I've had to alter everything to teach my students from home while ensuring that my own children are learning as well. We are uncertain as to what school will look like in the fall for the next school year. But there's one question that I have been mulling over for quite some time. What's Dabney Coleman's greatest role? For me, it's a tough call between his cameo in Muppets Take Manhattan Fighting Animal, the porno magazine publisher in Dragnet, or Jack Flack in Cloak and Dagger. What do you guys think? Keep up the podcasts. That's from Bob. Bob, I don't know what school looks like either.
But you should, Bob knows by now.
Yeah, you probably do know by now.
I hope you're doing okay.
I'm gonna go with something off menu.
Jack Flack is tough to beat, but his 9-to-5 role is like, that's where he's pinnacle Dabney asshole. I mean,
he's
Tootsie
so good
too,
in 9-to-5. But I haven't seen enough of his stuff to say it with great confidence that is his best. But
he's also good in, is it Modern Problems? Then there's also Short Time.
He's also,
do you know about
really
Short
good.
Time?
I have not seen that.
Do you know about it, though, no. The concept? He gets diagnosed with a terminal disease, so he's only got like
a short time
24
to live.
Hours to kill himself to look like an accident so his family gets the insurance.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Oh, he's the best.
He's really good in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I said, I watched 3 or 4 episodes, didn't even realize that was him, and I pride myself on my perfect Dabney Coldar.
You got great wig dar.
Yeah.
You got great Dabney Coldar.
Yeah.
Any other dars I need to know about? Darwin Dar?
Dar Williams, the singer. I can always tell when she's who she is.
That's a deep cut right
and
there.
And Dar Robinson, the stuntman.
All right, I think we got maybe 2 more of these.
Okay,
and then
that sounds good, but I do want to say I think I got to go with 9-to-5 Dabney Coleman.
I would too.
Frank.
I think I don't remember his name. Go ahead and watch 9-to-5. It's fun.
One of my all-time favorite movies. It's on my Letterboxd profile as one of my favorites.
Does she tie him up with a garage door opener in the house?
And a hang gliding sling.
So good.
Yeah.
This is from Alex. Matt and Mark, one of my favorite moments was when you guys called the National Spelling Bee.
Yeah.
I wanted to write in with my own story of competing in the Canadian National Spelling Bee in 2006. I was in 8th grade and always a good speller. I was never serious about being competitive. I won my school spelling bee and qualified for the Quebec Regionals. I did a few study sessions with my teacher, but she, my mom, and I all agreed this would just be for fun, and I wasn't going to study the dictionary or anything. The day came, and the bee was held at a hotel in Montreal with the 50 top 6th to 8th grade spelling minds in Quebec, and the tension was palpable. Some kids were doing flashcards. Others were visibly terrified, probably of their looming parents. I remember trying to make friends, and I only met one kid named Wolfgang. Otherwise, just hung out with my mom and teacher. Like,
did he expect
cool
to meet more
grader.
Kids named Wolfgang?
I think he was just thinking, there's going to be so many Wolfgangs here today.
Yeah.
And then was blown away that there was just the one.
I can't believe it.
I ended up being the 26th speller left and lost to the word turbulence, which I spelled T-U-R-B-U-L-A-N-C-E. I remember thinking, oh, well, that was fun, and ushered into a lounge area with a spread that was like an 8th grader's dream with every type of candy and cake and treat you can imagine. All I can remember from this room was being the only kid who went for the snacks while every other kid in the room was either crying or being berated by their parents.
Oh, jeez.
I remember a few of the kids looking at me jealously when my mom came in and said, great job, and gave me a big hug. No exaggeration. The competitive tension at the spelling bee was thicker than any I've ever experienced, and spelling bee parents are a very real thing. Anyway, that's my fear and loathing at the Canadian spelling bee story. Love the podcast. Alex from Montreal. I've never spelled turbulence wrong since.
That's a good story.
Are they? I don't know if they did the spelling bee this year.
Didn't they do it?
Could they do it
virtually somehow?
I don't know how you would verify it.
I forget.
It.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Seems pretty easy to just have someone holding up a flashcard behind your Zoom meeting that has the word spelled correctly.
We should check in with our old friend Corey Loeffler.
Just got married.
I did?
She did.
Oh.
Congratulations. This is from Jiang Ming. I have a proposal for you. Please get back to me. Should we write this guy back?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Hi.
Oh, I just deleted the message.
Hi, Jiang. I'm currently married, but if this proposal is serious, I am willing to go get out of my marriage.
Hi, Jiang. I am currently married. What do you want to say? Sorry.
But if this proposal is indeed sober and serious, I am willing to go get out of my marriage. Signed, baby.
Willing to
Get out of my marriage.
To go get out?
Yeah.
Get out of my
Signed, baby.
Signed, B-A-B-Y.
P.S. What's your favorite mask? Mask. And did you think Yellow Dancer was a girl or a boy in Robotech the New Generation?
Okay. And did you think Yellow Dancer?
Uh-huh.
Was a boy or a girl in Robotech?
The New Generation.
Is that Robotech colon the New Generation?
Is it, what's Star Trek, the next or New Generation?
Next Generation.
Yeah, the Robotech, the New Generation, yeah. Genesis Climber Mospita, I mean, if we're talking the original series.
Okay, I'll send this, okay. And we'll see if we get back.
Okay, if you're you're probably listening, Jang, because you wouldn't have sent this in, you wouldn't have even known.
Yeah, I don't know how you would have known.
So please get back to us.
I'm very curious about what the proposal is, yeah. And I don't even know if it's legal to marry a podcast.
Yeah, but
if you have a proposal, like,
yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, and we're glistening.
Uh-huh. So bad we can't sit up sometimes.
How long have we been going on this thing, Maddie?
Pretty long. We should probably want to do one more for the road.
I mean, this one's about masks, so.
Oh, that sounds good.
You want to end on
always end on mask. Mask?
It's a no long email, but Travis has really done some work here. First time emailer, longtime appreciator of both your guys' combined works. I've been hit with a moral quandary that perhaps may be better addressed with the Matt sitting in with Amanda and Maria on the big ones.
Wait, say that again?
I've been hit with a moral quandary that would be better addressed with Matt sitting in with Amanda and Maria on the big ones. I feel like they might not have the same appreciation with the subject matter as Matt would. So this is like a big ones.
Okay, but a mask big ones?
Yeah, I guess.
What to do?
Oh, this, I'm scanning it and it looks real good.
Sophie's choice between Scott and T-Bob?
Matt, you've been one of the only people in my life who I've encountered who actively remembered and adored the Mask series cartoons and toys from days gone by. Well, what the fuck
too.
Am I, chopped liver? I also liked them, Travis, and I owned several of them. I liked Max Mayhem more than Cobra Commander.
Well, is Max Mayhem his brother? Miles,
Miles
Mayhem.
Miles Mayhem.
Oh, let's see. This is why he knew.
Yeah. Well, Max Mayhem sounds better.
But he does have a brother. What's his brother's
is
name?
Is he a twin?
He had like another brother. It might have been Max Mayhem.
Speaking of Dabney Coleman, that's who should have played Miles Mayhem in a Mask movie.
Oh.
You imagine him.
I think it's Brian Cox.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's Brian Doyle Murray.
Well, he could have done it too.
He might have done
real
the
quick,
voice.
Can we cast Mask? According to like their
current day Mask, like you're gonna take current actors,
yeah, but you're gonna try to match them to their like it's authentic.
We need a match
possible.
Tracker.
Yeah, like what?
It's probably gonna be Brad Pitt.
No, I'm not saying like who's the best star, but like who really represents the look and the essence like the cartoon the most, like John Tesh.
Well, you do young Robert Redford, I think, as Matt Tracker.
That's
blonde,
pretty good.
All American. Got a little twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. Who's next? You want to go the other side of the pond? Go over to Venom?
Yeah.
Other side of the pond. Miles Mayhem.
I mean, Brian Cox feels good to me, but so does Brian Doyle Murray.
Brian Cox is going to have the gravitas that you need. Yeah. Brian Doyle Murray, he's the mayor in Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
He's not
threatening. Okay, Brian Cox. Okay.
Also, by the way, this is just a little voiceover deep dive. If you ever can find Brian Doyle Murray's voiceover reel, it's just him. It's just him talking
as Brian Doyle Murray.
Brian Doyle Murray. Yeah. I sound like this. I pretty much.
Hey, Griswold.
And then it's just a lot of like Burger King. We do chicken right. It's just a lot of him reading ads and there's no variation. Like you're getting one flavor with that guy, and I think it's a delicious flavor. All right, let's go back. Who's the kid?
Scott.
Who's Scott?
Freddie Highmore.
How about a Henry Thomas, fresh off of E.T.?
He's too brunette.
Okay. You want a young Freddie Highmore.
If you can do an American accent.
What about, like, you're going to say he's too brunette, but what about Nicholas Holt? Like, right off of About a Boy.
Too bowl cut.
Well, you do a different haircut.
No wigs in this. We can't have wigs in this.
You can cut his hair and style it.
But he's too brunette.
Okay. I'm willing to go with Freddie Highmore.
There's probably someone better.
Yeah, see, that's why I was still pitching people.
What about T-Bob? R2?
BB-8.
Okay, let's finish this email.
Okay. You don't want to do Vanessa?
Oh, she was so hot. Noomi Rapace.
Old you. I can't do it. I could do Noomi. I don't know about Rapace.
What about Sly Rax? This is Jack Nicholson, right?
If you could get him.
Oh, I got him. That's how I got this whole thing greenlit. He's attached.
That's a big actor for a pretty shitty henchman-y guy.
This is
going to
be
huge. Yeah.
You got Redford in the lead.
I do. What about Bruce?
Bruce Sato?
Yeah.
That's a tough one because with Bruce, it's really the voice. He has that high voice.
Mm-hmm. But you,
and
I'm just gonna
heavily stereotypical accent.
Yeah, I'm just gonna pitch this because I think it might make the film interesting, but because his vehicle is a motorcycle that changes into a helicopter.
No, that's Brad Turner.
Is it?
Oh my God, Mark.
Who does Bruce?
Drives Rhino?
He does
with Alex Sector, Jackrabbit, and Lifter.
And then I had this way off, and I apologize to Travis and to everyone.
Travis, you are so right to only ask me about this, and I apologize. Let's go on.
Well, who's playing Brad Turner?
The guy that used to host Shop Till You Drop. No, he was the announcer. What's his name? He was a game show host.
You want to cast a game show host in the Mask movie.
Jack Nicholson.
Let me get Shadow Stevens into this movie.
I'll take him. He could be Alex Sector. Who would be Alex Sector?
Me. I'll do it.
You got to have a long red beard.
Yeah, but no wigs?
Well, he's bald.
We're not doing wigs, right?
He's bald.
This is what I'm saying to you. So you're probably going to get the only redheaded actor there is, which is the guy from Game of Thrones who played Tormund, right? That's the only guy there is.
No, I think it's young Brendan Gleeson.
So we're time traveling with this movie.
If you're putting Redford in
young
his prime,
Redford, how old's Nicholson when he's doing it?
He's current Nicholson.
Just shirtless on a boat with his gut hanging over his bathing suit, putting suntan lotion on.
Stiletto fire.
All right. You want me to get back into Travis's email?
Yeah.
So we can get halfway through May. Matt. All right. We covered this. Travis loved the toys, though somehow he never really saw much of the cartoon. Travis was on an island of masks. None of his friends were into it. Somehow he was introduced, and somehow that's history. Till several years ago when the topic of masks came up on Pistol Shrimp's radio, and I inevitably couldn't contain my excitement of someone else talking about these toys, which I had began to write off as a fever dream of my boyhood.
Mm-mm.
This is Travis saying he didn't have any, and no one else was into it.
You can
him.
Get Brad Turner and Condor on eBay for like $20 or something.
Yeah. Cut to now. My 7-year-old son and I were discussing toys of my past. I mentioned Mask and the series of toys and how damn cool they were. His mind was blown. I referenced YouTube clips and continued to further blow his mind with these still seemingly badass toys. I mean, I've seen his toys. They can't hold a candle to these amazing Mask toys of days gone by.
And he has Hasbro's candle holder.
Here's the problem. My 7-year-old is now hell-bent on getting his hands on some Mask toys. I tried to explain the issue here in securing 20-something-year-old toys today. I then further made another mistake. He caught me looking on eBay in an attempt to further confirm in my mind that this is silly and I'm not going to find these toys after all these years. He quickly saw over my shoulder that these toys are still out there. He won't let it go. What do I do here? I'm not a monster. How can I, as a loving father, rob him of the magical experience of playing with the likes of the slingshot RV popping open to reveal the red mini jet? Am I insane to even consider buying a 20-plus-year-old toy off eBay?
No.
At what is most likely insane prices for my 7-year-old?
There is not a problem here.
Am I walking right into a Never Meet Your Hero style situation of getting these toys and actually realizing that they sucked the whole time?
No, they don't.
And now my son
suck.
Will silently or not so silently judge me for my poor taste in toys? Perhaps buying old toys is genius.
Stop.
All the parts.
Stop reading. You can get them on eBay out of the box for pretty cheap. And they're kind of used and played with. But if he's 7, he's going to like dig into them and use them up himself. There's no problem here. Get your son these mask toys.
Here's another confirmation of what we already know, that you should buy some of these toys.
Yeah.
Perhaps buying old toys is genius. All the parts that are likely to fall off and get lost have probably already fallen off and gotten lost.
Yeah.
Yes. Any sort of like projectile missile that comes out of these vehicles is long gone.
Yeah.
And no one's making toys with those types of parts now. No one's making a missile launcher.
I miss choking hazards.
Kind of seems very efficient. In a way, it's like recycling.
Yeah.
Damn it. Why didn't my wife put up more of a fight at the idea of buying these toys on
because
eBay?
She's a good wife
what
and mother.
What would you do? What would Trat Macker do?
He would... You could probably get some like whole collection of someone's old collection. You know, like a lot.
You could get a collection of someone's collection.
Yeah. Boulder Hill gas station / headquarters, mask headquarters.
I think you should just, whatever your budget allows, hop on eBay, buy some of these
toys.
I'm
going to look on eBay right now.
Because they were great toys. And this is somebody whose favorite toy for a very long time was the G.I. Joe soldier transport vehicle, where you just sat your guys in a row and drove them around. They were awesome. So you
I forgot I don't have internet.
And you can't look it up.
No, but I'm certain you could get them at a relatively
look, embarrassingly,
price.
Matt, for my birthday, you got me Brad Stevens and his motorcycle helicopter.
Brad fucking Turner and it's Condor.
And it's Rick Stevens and it's Helicopter Eagle.
We also got it for our web help guy that helped with the RSS feed. Do
That's
you remember?
Right. Yeah.
Dan Engler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that made its way to him.
I hope it did too.
I just set it up and said, go fly to Dan. It's still sitting in my
kitchen.
The
toys are
counter.
Great and your 7-year-old will like them. And even if your 7-year-old doesn't.
I'm just going to start
your
buying
seven-year-old
up
is seven.
Every mask toy. And then like instead of like when we come over to the house for a dinner, instead of bringing wine, I'm going to bring Julio Flores and his little buggy plane. And Floyd Malloy and his little red, what was his mask was Buckshot, but what was his, that motorcycle was awesome. Jacques Lafleur. And his van.
What do you think he's been doing in that van now? He probably converted it to one of those camper things where now you can just kind of drive up and down the coast and take a nap when you want to and cook your own food.
He lives in a hobo camp for sure.
Were there any women on the good guy side of mask?
Gloria.
That's right.
She had the
sort of rounded, ovaly.
Yeah. Mask. She basically had the Lotus Submarine from Spy Who Loved Me.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah, because it was a Porsche.
Travis, just get into these toys.
If you haven't, I'm
sure
worried that
you already
this
have.
Is like 4-5 months ago and he hasn't bought his son mask toys.
Then his son's probably almost 8. Like he was 7 when this email came in.
What do you want? You don't buy your son mask toys and you're going to start getting into He-Man, and you don't want that.
No. And modern toys, I speak from no experience, are weird. They're weirder. Anytime I sort of gently peek around the corner of a toy aisle at a Target or something like that, I'm always sort of looking like, these don't look that fun.
Yeah.
Were they always like that and I just didn't know? I was too young to know the truth.
No, but I do think that when I was a kid and Star Wars toys were out and I'd look at my parents' tin soldiers and they look so antiquated, I think kids must look at original Star Wars figures, even G.I. Joe and mask figures and go like, that's so
It's like the scene
basic.
In Back to the Future 2 when he shoots, he does the shoot 'em up cowboy game.
Yeah.
And the little kids, including Elijah Wood. He's one of those kids in that movie.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to use your hands. That's a baby's toy.
Hmm.
Maybe old toys suck, Matt. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe we're just two old farts sitting in a backyard talking into microphones about the good old days of plastic molded into heroes.
The only way to know is to do a full Pistol Shrimps episode where we bring down my container of old toys and start digging through them.
And that'll be fun for people who can't see any of it.
All our listeners are blind.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And deaf.
The why are we doing this?
They don't even know they're listening to this right now.
How are they? Are you saying?
I go to their house every morning and press play.
On whatever episode is available? Uh-huh. On the latest episode?
That's why it's tough for me to do these.
Because now you have to go around the country and
the world.
Yeah, and start hitting play on people's MP3 players, computers.
Yeah.
How do you even get in? Some of them are probably password protected.
Well, I am a great hacker.
Yeah, and I'm a hate gracker.
Man, I've been saying it for years.
Look. You can email the show, pistolshrimpsradio@gmail.com, and you can look on the Instagram and Twitter if you want to. Find those on your own.
We've been going for an hour and 40 minutes.
Holy shit.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.